we're back. Our second hour with Tex Mars tonight, talking about his knockout book, Codex Magica, Secret Signs, Mysterious Symbols, and Hidden Codes of the Illuminati. And they are, it's raining symbols, let me put it that way. They're all over the place. Now you get to this book and you go out and see things that you never saw before, and they've been right in front of you all these years. The handshakes are all shown here, the secret handshakes. Not so secret anymore, my friend. They're all over the media. All you got to do is look for them. They don't even hide them. It's amazing. All right, Jane Mansfield, Hollywood celebrities. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, the picture, you know, is a pretty shocking picture.
Yeah, it is.
There she is on her knees in her tight skirt, standing before Anton LaVey, high priest of the Church of Satan, and he's got a chalice, I believe, in his hand. She's having a black mass communion. She's taking communion.
Exactly. He's got his Halloween costume on. And
she was a Satanist, of course, a Satan worshiper. Anton LaVey himself is a 33rd. Well, he's not. He is. He's dead now.
Yeah.
I suspect he does know the truth now, Jeff. But wherever he is, I think I do know that place. But he was a 33rd degree Mason. In fact, in his last book that he wrote entitled Satan Speaks, on the back cover, I show that back cover somewhere here in the many pages of Codex Magica, and he's given the Masonic hand sign, the clenched fist, the same one that's over his heart, the same Masonic sign that you'll see Pat Robertson giving on the front cover of Time Magazine in this book.
Yeah.
But he was high priest of the Church of Satan. And by the way, for your audience to know, his name was not LaVey. He gave it a little French twist. He thought that would be cute. His real name was Levy. He was Jewish. He's the son of Jewish liquor distributors. So here again, we have a Jewish connection. So it's sort of interesting. The high priest of the Church of Satan, just like the king of smut and pornography, Al Goldstein, is Jewish. And that's pretty well sort of a pattern or trend.
True. It's known, of course, that the basic center of world internet pornography is Israel, has been from the beginning.
It is indeed. Al Goldstein, in an interview here, this guy that did this, what magazine called, shouldn't even say the word on your show.
It's an item you use to construct things with.
There you go, a hardware item. But he admits it, and he says the reason Jews are mostly involved in the pornography business is because he actually said, want to defile Christian culture in America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a pretty sick thing, but you get it. But it's interesting that a lot of these people are involved in the Jewish Kabbalah. You know, not only Madonna is involved.
Oh, many of them are, right. And in many living rooms of the rich and famous are interesting rugs and tile settings on living room floors that are covered up with rugs and so forth. It's all there.
It really is. I show, have a lot of pictures of Hollywood entertainers and such. It's very fascinating. You know, the show Seinfeld, the sitcom, all four of those actors were Kabbalistic Jews. All of them. The producer, Larry David, of course, is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all give Kabbalistic magical signs, hand signs, and body signs on the show all the time. In fact, I show on the cover of TV Guide, Jason Alexander, you know, the guy that played sort of the lovable loser.
I never watched it.
You never did? Okay. Well, Tex, you didn't miss too much.
I pulled the cable on television 18 years ago.
Well, good for you.
I don't watch it.
Well, if you ever do, you're at a friend's house, and look for all the signs, because they're constantly given Masonic and Kabbalistic hand signs. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, on the cover of TV Guide, there is this character, this short, bald-headed guy that they call George on the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But here he is. He seems to be just sort of jumping, flailing up in the air, given some kind of a Scottish Highlander dance step. But if you look very carefully, you'll see that one hand is pointing up, one hand is pointing, the other hand is an arm or pointing down. That's the as above, so below of the occult world. but both hands are giving the El Diablo, the sign of the horned devil. And his body, everything, the legs, everything is shaped in triangular shapes, all having Kabbalistic meaning. Now, isn't it interesting that you're watching a show, you think it's a number one rated sitcom, what you don't know is they're conducting occult sorcery rituals right before your eyes. They're really sucking you into the occult vortex.
Well, they're programming the audience, because we all know now that people who watch television are in an altered state, unable to really pass any kind of evaluative judgment on everything that flows in. They're in a... We have four brainwave states, beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And television will take you right down into alpha and close to theta. You no longer are working on the side of your brain that makes moral decisions and evaluations. The material just flows in unimpeded.
Jeff, you know, you have just explained the reason why, this is an amazing thing, why at Y2K time they had all this fear-mongering, but they didn't dare stop the TV sets.
Right.
The electricity grid had to keep going, because from what you're saying here, and I believe you're absolutely right.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
The propaganda, the mesmerizing hypnotism had to keep going. Or maybe if we went without TV for a week or two, suddenly everybody would wake up.
Well, that does happen. The brain begins to recover its lost equilibrium and begin to once again evaluate, process, and pass judgment on what it's seeing, hearing, and thinking.
Oh,
and
wow.
That doesn't happen under the state of influence. Television is simply, Tex, the most vicious, incredibly sophisticated, ruthless weapon ever unleashed on humankind. People do not have a chance. That's why the Communist Chinese government had as its avowed goal, among others, but a big one, by the end of the year 2001, to have all, or maybe it was 2000, anyway, one or the other, have televisions in every Chinese household, and they did it.
Well, here we get it. Everything, then, is ritual, and when we see it, when we bring the occult ritual into our home, you know, the moon landing.
Right.
You know, I've done a whole video talking about everything that went on with Armstrong and Aldrin, all of the other Masonic high initiates, and how they conducted a satanic ritual. You know, the Masonic Lodge, the Scottish Rite, now has even created a lodge on the moon, Tranquility Lodge.
Hmm.
And Buzz Aldrin, who's a 33rd degree Mason, mm-hmm. admits that he took a pennant like a flag.
Right.
You know how Columbus and all the discoverers stuck their flag in the soil and said, we declare this the land of Spain or whatever? Well, they did that on the moon for Freemasonry. They said, this is now the territory of the Masons. And that was a Masonic ritual conducted, they claim, if they even went to the moon, or maybe that was a TV production. But anyway, they did have that, and I have in Codex Magica a picture of Buzz Aldrin giving the Grand Master, I believe it is of the state of Alabama's Masons, that flag for to be put on display.
Hmm.
That the flag, the double-headed eagle, by the way, that we talked about earlier. So they admit themselves having conducted what I believe are satanic rituals. Of course, they say different. Right there on the moon. But everything, you know, Apollo 13. Apollo, of course, the name of the great sun god.
Right.
And the number 13, that mission, numerologically, is very significant, Apollo 13. And it took off, Jeff. It took off on at 13:13. I believe it was April the 13th. The day of the flight. So everything, 313s is 39. By the way, there's a Masonic movie, the old classic you can get at the video stores, called The 39 Steps. 3 times 13 equals 39.
Right.
So
an awful lot of the NASA space launches, NASA landings, Apollo missions, you name it, have been geared toward numeric significance. And I think we got a... Are you on a cell phone, Tex?
Yes, and I'm switching right now.
Okay.
for a couple more seconds. I guess my old battery is going out, but I'm here ready to go.
Okay, very good. Yeah, no problem. But there was an Egyptian who was involved with selecting, apparently, many of the dates for NASA missions, launches, rendezvous, landings, deployments, and so forth, which had a great deal to do with this very symbology you're talking about. All right, hold on. We have a break coming up. We'll come right back with more. Talking with Tex Mars about his enormous book, Codex Magica, which is all the images are here, photographs, charts, graphs, you name it. And boy, those alleged hook'em horn signs are everywhere, folks. Everywhere. I can't imagine there are that many Texas Longhorn fans over the years, but sure are a lot of folks with that signal. All right, back in a minute with Tex. We were talking about Anton Levy, or LeVay, and what did Anton Levy die of? Heart disease. Kind of sums it up, doesn't it, Tex?
Yeah, it sort of does. Maybe a lack of a heart or a hole
in
the heart.
That's right.
But, you know, it's interesting, too, that I found out, just checking the calendar, that Lord Edmund de Rothschild died the very same day as Anton LaVey. So I wonder if they know each other in their new location.
Yeah.
Sort of given
him, yeah, he welcomed him aboard with that famous handshake. And
there you go.
And they did that Texas Longhorn thing, and just to make sure they were both Longhorns fans.
I have a whole chapter, you know, in here, in Codex Magica, about the horn sign. And, of course, you know, I realize that at rock concerts, and now it's become a very popular sort of a sex, drugs, and rock and roll type sign.
Right.
So you really, I try to be fair throughout this book, Jeff.
Well, you are, and you even show that Heather Whitestone, Miss America 1994, gives what some might call the horn sign, but it's simply the deaf sign for I love you.
It is the sign of the deaf, but it's interesting, too, when you even trace that back to its origins, and it shows you how the sneakiness, you might say, or deception. But that very sign, although it is the sign of the deaf for I love you, Helen Keller, a very sympathetic figure, of course, and yet she was involved in a number of, you know, theosophy and other occultic type groups, Swedenborgianism and such. So it's possible, perhaps, that she adopted that, and so there's a crossover there between these occult groups and the deaf. But naturally, the deaf people don't know that, and we just have to give them all the benefit of the doubt. As far as George Bush giving his El Diablo sign at the inauguration, you know, Bill Clinton
did
it too.
His daughter too.
Yeah, his Jenna. Now Jenna did graduate from the University of Texas, but
she's got pictures.
That's right. But I have pictures of Barbara Bush giving it, Laura Bush giving the sign, Prince William giving it. So after, and Silvia Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy, I don't think he's a Longhorn, do you,
probably
from Texas, Jeff? So we sort of nail a bunch of them with the sign.
Well, I'm glad you also included, and not that any inclusion is worthy, but you did include two of the lowest forms of alleged humanity I've ever seen, and I have seen them when I've been watching television here or there, is that how can they call them comedians? Those creeps, Penn and Teller.
Oh boy, they're given the sign of the devil. Here we have another set of Jews, by the way, who have made fun. Well, they just had a sex show involving Jesus. I won't even tell you about it.
No.
In Las Vegas, horrible things. Yeah, you know, here again, we really get, you're talking about lowlifes. They really are, anyone that would sink that low. But I wonder, you know, we have people that are all cleaned up. You know, the George W. Bushes, the Al Gores, the Bill Clintons.
Right.
And a Democrat or Republican, you know, here again, we have the Hegelian dialectic concept, don't we?
Right.
You know, the as above, so below, the double head of the eagle. They're churning us through universal motion.
Perfect
Manly
word.
B. Hall.
That's a wonderful word. That the churning is going on 24 hours a day. Churning. A churning of America's soul to keep it off balance, confused, and literally blinded to what's going on in front of it.
That's right, because the 33rd degree motto is Ordo Ab Chao. They first have to create, invent chaos.
Right.
And then they present a solution that drives you synergistically toward their final goal, which is creative destruction. Now, boy, talk about a oxymoron there, Jeff.
Yeah.
But they call themselves, I explain this, this is why they are megalomaniacs. I explain this and there are absolutely psychopaths. I had a debate with a professor recently. He said, no, they're only sociopaths.
Oh, well, please.
As if somehow that they're not as bad as psychopaths, you
Jeez.
Know. So, Dr. Boris, he's a good man. But in any case, a lot of these people look so good.
That's our society. That's our age. We live in the age of illusion, or, well, it's all form over substance. The age of illusion.
That's a good way to put it. And entire religions are devoted, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, were set up by Masons, many times Zionists, and they were conducted from the beginning using occult, Masonic, and other secret society rituals.
I was going to say, talk to us a little bit more about the Mormon Church.
The Mormons?
Yeah, they don't get much press. They successfully stay pretty much out of the limelight. There's a lot of interesting support amongst Mormons for the social programs they have to take care of their church members and so forth. But there was a long, lengthy, I don't want to say expose, but it was a detailed research story done on the origins of the Mormon Church. It appeared in the L.A. Times, oh, it must have been 20 years ago now. Caused a great ruckus, because it did dredge up a lot of suspicious and shady information about the origins of the church and so forth, and what happened in the early days.
Well, maybe on the other side we can talk about that, Joseph Smith, the founder, and his connections to Freemasonry.
Right. I remember that that article really raised the roof. I was I think it was in college then, but anyway. Okay, back in just a minute. The book is Codex Magica. You can get it by calling 1-800-234-9673, 800-234-9673, or just ask for the free Codex Magica newsletter. We'll be right back with Tex. Tex Morris talking about his book Codex Magica. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the Mormon Church. Joseph Smith.
Well, Jeff, Joseph Smith, of course, was a Mason. He was excommunicated by the Masons because what he did was he took the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry, and he said, "Hey, I can make a religion out of this," and he did. he created a religion there in Novo, Illinois. And they have the temple. They rebuilt it, the very first temple. And I have pictures of it. And they have sun god signs, the moon goddess the signs, and so forth. And he, by the way, was an occultist himself. Even Mormon researchers have been shocked. And they've written a number of articles and books of a scholarly nature. They've been shocked to discover that his whole family, he, for example, when he was killed, by the way, he was in jail, you know, a mob rioted and shot him, and he was in a gunfight. Mm. His last words, he was giving the, you know, the sign of distress, the Masonic sign of distress, hoping some of his fellow Masons would not kill him, but it didn't work. And so, but the everything in Mormonism, they have what they call, you know, their own ceremonies, and it's all exactly like the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry, and Mormons have to wear an underwear, sort of like the old style frontier underwear under their clothes. A lot of people don't know this. The men do, and the women, and they have Masonic symbols on those. If you visit the great tabernacle in Salt Lake City, on the floor, on the mosaic, is the five-pointed star. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that Joseph Smith taught was that Jesus was a star god. He was one of thousands of gods, and he came from the planet Kolob up in the stars, K-O-L-O-B. And, of course, he made it possible for us to become gods, sort of with our own harem. These guys beat the Muslims. They can have thousands of wives, you know, not just a harem of virgins, Jeff. So it's very attractive. Now, on page 193 in my book, Codex Magica, and on page 199, I actually show a man and then a woman. These pictures actually came from a Mormon LDS church ceremony. And the woman, for example, on page 199, I compare it with an illustration from a Masonic manual, and there, guess what?
Identical.
She's given the sign with her right hand of an entered apprentice, the first degree. Mm-hmm. Page 193, we have a Mormon, and there he is giving the sign of the fellowcraft, the second degree, a Mason. And I showed that and compare it. And, by the way, I also show Rasputin.
There he is, yeah.
The Russian monk, he's given the same sign. You know, the czar, the czarina and the czar of Russia, he was their spiritual advisor, and he was all involved in various occult rituals and secret societies.
He was
so
a very strange man, to put it mildly.
Evidently, he was a mesmerizing character, wasn't he?
Yeah, from what I've read.
And he followed what they called the left-hand path. But here he is giving the penal sign of the fellowcraft degree of Freemasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those blue eyes of his.
Yes.
That would have been enough to do it, I think, in those days.
He was a member of a Dionysian sex cult. Mm. And I don't know, you know, some people say the Tsarina was enticed into bed with Rasputin, and it went from there.
I hate to say this, but as a point of fact, Rasputin's claim to fame in following that line of discussion, is in a jar in a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia.
There was
a picture. Did you see that?
My.
There was a picture.
Well, I've
of
heard
a,
of it. I haven't seen the picture, no.
Yeah. There's a photograph of the jar with this item is in the jar, and there's a young Russian woman standing next to the jar looking at it with obviously great intrigue. Seriously.
Oh, boy, I tell you.
Pictures, is a publicly, I guess, circulated picture in a major Russian news agency. I saw it.
Well, I suspect bits of his hair and flesh and everything were probably passed around.
Well, they got a large bit in the jar. Let me put it
that way. Oh, man, we only want to talk about what that was. But they're all talmismans and charms used by
people. Well, there's still magic involved with that. That was the point of the story, I think, that even in death, this guy is considered to be somehow very strange.
It is strange, and yet it tells you a story of how deep lives, entire empires can be affected
by one person,
by satanic personalities.
Now, let me fast forward to two very important pictures of the last century and, in fact, American history. And those pictures appear on 394 and 395.
Okay.
I've got them at rents.com. They are aboard Air Force One flying back to Washington on November the 22nd, 1963, where LBJ is being sworn in on the plane. It is at my website. You can find it by doing a search and just enter the wink. The wink.
I'll tell you. Well, first of all, I want to give credit to rents.com. I had not seen this before. I'd seen the famous photo on page 394 of my book. Everybody's seen that.
Yeah.
There they are on Air Force One, and poor Jackie, she looks
shattered.
She look horrible?
Shattered.
Really?
There's blood on her coat and everything, yeah.
And there is Lady Bird beside LBJ, and he's taking the oath of office from this woman judge from Texas. And right there on Air Force One, yeah, she's got blood on her coat. And then the very next scene, which is something I had never seen until I went to rents.com that time, and man, the wink of the 20th century, I think you called it.
Something like that.
And that was so great, Jeff. And I hope you don't mind, I took that picture and put it on page 395. And there is old LBJ smiling. He's looking, suddenly look back at the next frame, and he's smiling and he's getting a wink from one of his old...
Congressman Albert Thomas.
Yeah, his old pals, you know. And there's Lady Bird has a little bit of a smirky smile on her face.
She certainly does.
Boy.
Yeah.
Now,
that's enough to make even the most hard of hearts stop and say, what's he smiling about? What's going on here? You've got to... Anyone looking at this would come away with some kind of question, I would think. It's an... Johnson is obviously... close to grinning. I mean, it's a major smile. His cheekbones are all puffed up with his face and a smile. He's looking back at Albert Thomas.
Jeff, he's ready to open up the champagne bottle.
You got it.
There's the coffin in the back of the airplane, the craft, but he's ready to open up champagne bottles and party.
Yep.
It's terrible.
It is. All right, hold on. Just another small item from Tex Mar's amazing book, Codex Magica. It's huge. Back in a minute. So totally up to date is Tex Mar's book, Codex Magica. I mean, he's got it right on through Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's all here. Arnold is a character. I don't know if Orrin Hatch is still pushing that legislation to allow foreign-born to assume the presidency of the U.S. A lot of talk about that. What do you know about Arnold? Go ahead and give us a little synopsis.
Well, you know, it seems that Arnold was picked, and of course, remember, many people come to prominence in the movies, of course, and then here we have in politics. None of these things are by accident. They don't just pick people off the street. And if they do, it's a certainly rare
thing. Never happens. No.
But I'm sure you've seen the picture while he was, before he decided to run for governor, he went over to England.
Oh, yeah.
To Scotland, in fact, and there he was with Lord Rothschild. And they actually took a picture showing sort of the elite of the world. He's our boy.
There's
and
Warren
there he
Buffett.
Is. Yeah, with Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in America in the world, and Lord Rothschild, out on the front lawn of the huge estate of Lord Rothschild. A real signal. And, of course, even though the Jews at first sort of started to slam him, because of his supposed Nazi connection. You know that famous picture where he's nude, holding up his hand in a Nazi salute? They're willing to forgive that because the head of the ADL notes the fact that he has given millions.
Well, he bought his way past all that.
That's right. He's given millions to the Simon Wiesenthal Center and all of the Jewish lobby groups.
Yeah, sure. It was his dues. He paid them.
And he's married to a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Hey, what more can you want? Rothschild, Hathaway, Kennedy, the right. ADL backing you.
Well, these are blue bloods, so to speak.
They are blue bloods. And I don't know if he's... It will be very hard to... I guess maybe we could need to use an action hero if the war on terrorism heats up. Maybe that's their goal.
Yeah, fat chance of seeing him doing any combat. None of these people ever do, of course. They send our men and women to do it and poison them with depleted uranium. And how many hundreds of thousands of them are going to come home here only to die? We've got over 500,000 now from the first Gulf War who are on medical disability. That means casualties, folks, as we talked about recently on the program. 500
well, Jeff, you're right about that. And Dick Cheney, five deferments, never served one day in uniform.
Right.
But he doesn't mind sending men and women in American uniform to die, does he?
No.
It's a shame.
Well, Henry Kissinger's famous comment told the whole story. He views the military as basically just beasts to be used to serve the ends of the globalist cartels.
And absolutely.
They don't mince words, and that's the most amazing part. I think we started out talking about this, is that just they're right up front with it now. They're in our faces, and almost, in fact, they are. They're mocking us.
They are mocking us, and to them, when they do all these mysterious signs and handshakes, and they do it on TV, on the covers of magazines, it is a challenge to us, Jeff. And, some people would say, oh, this can't be true. That sounds clownish. Why would grown men do mysterious symbols with their hands and have secret handshakes? Well, I go back to John Wayne Gacy, of all people, who I quote in the book. He killed all those little boys, pedophile, horrible murderer, serial murderer. And then, when the police went to investigate him, when they found him in a clown suit, turns out he would go visit hospitals, the kids' wards.
Mm-hmm.
The better to lure young boys to his home and kill them and sexually abuse them. And he taunted the police. That's what these people are doing us, taunting. He said, quote, a clown could get away with murder. He was dressed in a clown costume.
Right.
So I believe these people, it's in your face, arrogant. And by the way, you mentioned Lyndon Johnson. There's right after those pictures is a picture from Newsweek magazine showing him. He's giving a distinctively Masonic a sign of socialist red communist power with his clenched fist and his hand. And the article is entitled Part Angel, Part Devil. And they call him a legislative magician. And all these little code words that they give to us as if to say, can you get it? Do you get the point? Ha, ha, ha on you. So that they do taunt us. And they're just evil, evil magicians.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic in it, at least their kind of magic, that's for sure. What's going on with Bill Clinton now? They're talking about putting him in as Secretary General of the United Nations. Now they're talking about Tony Blair going in there. These people just don't disappear from the scene like they used to. Look at George Shultz and the others. And Poindexter, they keep resurrecting them. They don't go away anymore like they seemingly used to. They stay around. They just retread them and recycle them.
They do, and that's a sign to the others. We can imagine Scooter Libby Lewis. He seems to be out of favor now, but watch out. He'll probably come back and be head of Homeland Security.
Could happen. Well, just the magic word of, talk about magic, the magic word of pardon.
The magic word of pardon. Armitage, all these guys that are drug runners and such, suddenly they come back again. You mentioned Poindexter. I mean, courts martials, horrible scandals mean nothing. They rehabilitate these people, and It's almost like they are actors. You know, they play a bit part, and then they come back again. Mm-hmm. And people forget the previous movie. You know, we've seen Sandra Bullock in 20 movies, but we forget the other parts she played.
That's true. They recast, and that's
They recast them, yes. Yeah. And here again, they create the whole world as dark theater. The dark theater of the satanic occult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it is, Jeff.
What are our young people going to do about this? That's the part that really worries me. We always look to our young people as our future and our salvation, and in so many cases now, our young people are all but intellectually stillborn, if they're born at all. And I'm very concerned about it.
I am too, and I feel sorry for them, because in a way they didn't have the chances we even did. If you're any age at all, maybe you escaped some part of this. But now it's in such full force.
No, they're from the cradle to the grave.
From the cradle to the grave. Maybe the parents that are making their kids stay away from the TV, as politically incorrect as that is, as weird as they look, maybe they're doing their children a great favor. You know, I go back to John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States. They say he was a brilliant intellectual. He wrote a book called Letters on Freemasonry. He said that Freemasonry is a Luciferian cult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we have kids that will ever be president anymore that will make that declaration. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, maybe this is a challenge to the younger generation that you're giving out, Jeff. Prove us wrong. I do know this. I am so happy, and I know you. When you go to speaking engagement or you get an email from a 16-year-old or 17-year-old that knows these things, you go, man, isn't this wonderful?
Right.
And I love those young people. And maybe they are the future, if God will favor us for another generation. Maybe they're the future that can upset the apple cart of these evil Illuminati.
Well, you put your finger on it when you said parents must keep their children away from commercial television. I've been saying that for the 12 years I've been doing this program. Keep them away from commercial television, somehow give them the inner strength, self-esteem to withstand ruthless, debilitating peer pressure, and keep them also away from the music. It's that cadence, that constant beat, that repetition that puts the mind in the same state that television does, and it takes those kids away from you. The first time, and I've said this so many times, that parents allow their children to sit in front of commercial television is the first time those children have begun to be programmed away from their parents and family. I had a woman today with a little baby just making casual conversation, said her child was sick. This child was less than a year old, maybe 5-6 months old. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, he had his first vaccinations yesterday, and he's sick today.
Wow.
And I said, frankly, I kind of became a little angry. I said, well, what the heck did you think? What were you thinking? Why did you do that? Well, they forced me. And I said, no, wait a minute. They didn't force you to do it. They may have intimidated you, but no one forced you to allow a doctor to inject your son with 4 different vaccines in one day when he's less than 6 months of age. And I said, please get on the Internet and do some research. She said, well, I didn't want to do it. I've been crying all day because my son is sick now. I said, read on the Internet. Just do a Google search for vaccine dangers and start reading. And just understand your rights. You do not have to vaccinate your children. It's not true. Vaccinations occur, of course, physically and mentally and spiritually, and what we've been talking about in the media for so long is readily apparent in Tex Mar's book. I mean, you can see images all over the place in this book. And I don't know how long it took you to do the book, Tex, but it you're going to have a tough act to follow to try and top this one.
Well, I tell you, I was really inspired to do this book because I was very frustrated. You know, you write a book and there's only text in it and just a few pictures, and a lot of people, unfortunately, don't read anymore.
No.
And I wanted a book that people and their neighbors laugh at them and say, oh, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe in conspiracies. George Bush is a wonderful Christian man. Bill Clinton loved us and so forth. If they have a book with over 1,000 photos, and it compares what these people are doing with what the ancient mystery satanic religions did, wow. So all the people, all a person has to do is show their friends and neighbors this book, and it'll blast them out.
All too true. Tex, congratulations first on the book, and thanks secondly for being here tonight and spending 2 hours of your time. It's been great.
Jeff, it has been for me too, and God bless you and your wonderful audience.
Thank you. Take care,
okay,
Tex.
Okay, friend.
Good night.
Good night.
Tex Mars, Codex Magica. The phone number again is 800-234-9673 for a copy of that, or just ask for the free Codex Magica newsletter. That's our program tonight. We'll pause for 21 hours. We'll be with you at Rents.com and be right back with you tomorrow night.